Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of informing and motivating listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 5 regional stations, as well as 4 additional stations in Virginia. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. We sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support of any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support us in this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale.
Go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donate button, or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have a discussion with Congressman Mike Hill, former representative of District 1 for the House of Representatives for the state of Florida. Congressman Hill is a dear friend, brother in Christ, and I am thankful for his Christian conservatism, and I'm thankful for the privilege of interviewing him today on this broadcast. Congressman Hill, I planned on that being further down in the broadcast, but let's get back to our previous discussion in just a moment. But first of all, on the top of the hour news, our listener, you heard, and our listeners heard, that Biden is now talking about giving almost $500,000 for each of the illegal immigrants that's coming in, used to be called illegal aliens, that's coming across the border. What do you think that's going to do to the economy? How will that change the face of America? And what will it cause others to want to do around the globe? Will it cause them to want to come to America? Or will they be willing to stay and not have the $500,000?
I'll tell you what it'll cause, Dr. Youngblood. It'll cause me to declare myself an illegal immigrant. Give me $500,000. That is insane. It doesn't even make sense. Dr. Youngblood, and they know it. They know that it doesn't make sense. They know that it wouldn't work, that they know that it's illegal. But this is what I predict might happen, sadly, that they won't give them $450,000, and the Republicans are going to come to a compromise, and instead they're only going to get $100,000. And they'll say, see, we're working together, when they should not get a penny. They shouldn't get anything. Here we are, American citizens, taxpayers, work hard each and every day to provide for our families. The government then steals from us a great portion of that, much more than is necessary. And now what they're going to steal from us, they are going to give to those who broke the law, who entered this nation illegally. I call it an invasion. A planned invasion.
Absolutely. Planned invasion.
And you were right. If they see, wait, you don't even have to give them the $450,000. You don't have to give it to them. Just the thought that the possibility is there is going to bring more people here. They'll say, did you hear that? Did you hear what we can get and what it will cause? He said, those who are separated at the border, the ones who get it, they will purposefully separate themselves. They'll send their children first.
That'll totally change the demographics of America overnight. In fact, demographers back in 2009 said that by 2030, America will be a Hispanic-speaking nation. And I wondered then, how in the world is that possible to change the demographics so rapidly? And we're watching it take place. I believe we have a caller on the line. Sean, go over the question or comment, please.
Yes, sir. Good afternoon, gentlemen. I just wanted to kind of add my 2 cents in there. Of course, they're letting all these people come across the border and giving them all this money. They're just securing votes for the next term.
Absolutely. You're exactly right, John. Yes, thank you so much for your input. No, you're exactly right with the insight, spot on with what you've just said. We have another caller on the line. Go with the question or comment, please.
Good afternoon, guys. Got something.
Good afternoon.
I'd like
delighted to have you on there.
Got something I'd like to add to your topic, and that We all know that the price of food is skyrocketing. The price of everything we touch is skyrocketing. But I want your audience to contemplate this. Do you really think that those that whip out the EBT cards and qualify for all the programs are going to really understand or feel the crunch that you feel when you go to the grocery store? I've been witnessing they still fill their carts heaping and overflowing. Sometimes they have two carts full of food. They take it home after they've paid it with our tax money, after they did not go to work that day because they're getting the government payout. And they take and they fill their pantries. They may have a separate room that's got heaping stockpiles of food. Think about why our shelves are running empty when people are doing that across the nation. And then you had the planned Unsupply America program where the products aren't even coming in. If you notice on the shelves, I remember growing up when a product was full to the back, may have 6, 7, 8 boxes to fill that section. Now you'll see one box, maybe two. You'll notice that the packaging is from overseas where we do not even package our own food. And it's easy to stop and cause a food shortage. It's another example of the planned death of America. Didn't happen overnight, but it's going to end pretty quick.
Danny, I think you're spot on with what you're saying. Congressman Hill, how do you respond to Danny's observation and his statements?
Well, his observations are spot on. I mean, they can't be denied. We're seeing it before our very eyes, where there are less products on the shelves, and the ones that are there are costing more. Inflation is going insane right now. And by the way, everything that Danny described is man-made. These are man-made disasters brought on by this regime.
Yes.
And part of it is being inept, a part of it is being totally incompetent, but a part of it is also planned. It's being planned right now by those globalists who want to take America down, except for they want us to pay for everything, but they want to take our rights from us so that we can have a one-world government where they dictate everything that is going on. But it will be practically impossible for that to happen, Dr. Youngblood. The reason I say that is we have seen it already in other nations where there is an elite, an oligarchy, who thinks that they can control the behavior of free people. It doesn't work. It didn't work in Russia. It didn't work in Cuba and Venezuela. And I predict it will not work in China. China is going through a brief period right now where it looks like that they're on top, but they are not. It's very fragile, and it is going to collapse here sooner than later.
I'd like to have your audience think of something else, Dr. Youngblood.
Yes, sir.
You do not need to confront and take away the weapons and the guns of American citizens when you overpopulate them with individuals that do not have the same mindset or concept of freedom. They will be used as a means to take away or to fight those that with the rights that we have. And that's another part of their plan, just to overpopulate with non-American thinking people.
Yes.
And pay the bill.
Danny, you're exactly right. What it is, what we're dealing with and what we're talking about, we're tiptoeing around the edges of all of it. Not intentionally, but we're just taking little bite-sized pieces in the conversation. Mm-hmm. We're watching the philosophy of Build Back Better. That's a socialist Marxist mantra. And you've got to tear something down to, quote, build it back. And in the socialist Marxist communist viewpoint, America needs to be built back better. And what they're doing now in Europe is working through the UN to try to schedule dictates. In fact, it's Janet Yellen that just was applauding the fact that in part of the meeting that Biden is in, they've worked out a deal with nations around the globe that there will be a minimal tax for all corporate entities so that America will not be better off than any other nation when it comes to corporate taxation. They're wanting the one-world globalist elitist government, and they're on the fast track for doing that. And if we sit in silence, they'll be successful in the accomplishment of that. Danny, thank you so much, brother, for your input. God bless you. And have
God bless. God bless
look
both
up,
of you.
Lift
too.
Up your head because our redemption draws nigh. Have a great day today. Congressman, let's get back to a thought that I had introduced just before the news break, and that is about our rights when we go into the hospital. During the course of 71 days with my oldest son in the hospital, family was not allowed to visit. Family was not allowed to go in. They were held at bay. Finally, when they determined that he was in his dying moments, they allowed the nearest family, the wife and the sons and daughters in the Virginia hospital to go in to see him. Is that humane or inhumane? Is that barbaric or not? And the second thought is, do you believe, this is the poignant point that I want us to address, do you believe that it's time, we can't do anything about other states, but do you believe it's time in the state of Florida that we get some congressmen together, that is the representatives and the senators, together and introduce legislation that will make that program, that approach, illegal in the state of Florida? Do you believe that's necessary, and do you believe it can be done?
I believe it absolutely is necessary, Dr. Youngblood. Whether or not it can be done, that's another story. And the reason I say that is there's a representative, Anthony Sabatini. He's a good friend of mine. We served together in the House. And at the time we were serving together.
32, I believe it is, isn't it?
That's right. And at the time we were serving together, he was known as the second most conservative member of the Florida House.
That's good.
I was the first most conservative. But now that I left, he is the most conservative voice there. And he, many months ago, brought the idea forward that we needed to have a special session to make sure that Florida will not abide by the vaccine mandates. And then just recently, Governor DeSantis agreed to holding a special session. It'll happen this month, where they are going to take up the issue of this vaccine mandate. Well, even before the ink was dry on his statement that we're going to have this special session, we have House and Senate leaders who are saying that, well, maybe we don't need to do this. Maybe we've gone just a little bit too far. These cowards, these rhinos, are already watering down what needs to be done. And that's why I say, yes, it absolutely, we do need a freedom of health statement here in Florida, a freedom of health law, where these hospitals are not able to dictate and determine how you are going to be treated. Now, of course, they should do it within their best medical knowledge, but none of this nonsense of where you can't refuse treatment that you don't want, that your loved ones can't come in. We do need something like that, but I'm concerned that the current leadership, Republican leadership, that we have in the House and the Senate right now would not have the guts, would not have the courage to do that, even though it is so desperately needed.
We need a list of those representatives and senators that stand in that position that I can broadcast on there, calling their name, their telephone number, and their contact information, so that across the state of Florida we can shame them, perhaps if nothing else, into doing that which is honorable. I've had the opportunity to have conversation with two or three of the representatives and one of our senators. In fact, I don't think he would mind me saying this, but Senator Aaron Bean just made the commitment last week that he's going to introduce legislation that will make it illegal for any hospital, a hospital organization, or medical institution to forbid a pastor or a priest or the family member to go in and visit a loved one, even if they have COVID. My position has been, in my communication with our legislators, my position has been that if a nurse and a doctor and a hospital worker can go into that hospital room by putting on some PPE and a shield or mask, surely they could just simply request the family member to do the same thing so that the family member will be able to have some kind of contact. One of the greatest harms that I see taking place by sequestering a hospital patient so that he's shut off from family, shut off from friends, shut off from his pastor, there is the horrifying thought that I'm here alone. I had one that was in our church family. The husband was 91 years old. He was in a nursing home. And in the last 30 days before he died, he was screaming every day, already with partial dementia, "Where's my wife? Why has she abandoned me? Where's my family? Why have they abandoned me?" We've had two deaths recently from COVID in our church, and as a result of that, the families were shut out. They cannot visit with their loved one, even in their dying moments. That's unheard of in a civilized society. It is inhumane, it's barbaric, it's ungodly, and unholy. And so I'm wanting all of our listeners to know, pick up the telephone and call Senator Bean, compliment him with that, email Senator Bean, let him know that you stand with him. He told me, he said, "Doc, I've had dozens and dozens of people across the state of Florida call and or email me with their concerns about what is taking place." And Congressman, I know that you perhaps read this article. It says, "Inhumane, lethal COVID protocol in our hospitals." The article says, "It is in a shocking departure from traditional hospital policies. Admission to a hospital has become like reporting to prison. Prisoners in America's jails have more visitation rights than to COVID patients in America's hospitals. One family member, a professional psychologist with a career focus of treating victims of trauma, said that in many hospitals, COVID patients are treated little better than animals are treated." And I could go on and on. It's a very, very frightening article. And the whole point is, we have a Patient's Bill of Rights for the state of Florida. We have a National Patient's Bill of Rights. And what these hospitals and physicians are doing is antithetical to and totally in conflict with the Patient's Bill of Rights in any state in the United States of America. So the question goes back, what should we do? How should we respond? Should patients just take it upon themselves and say, "We're going in"? Recently, a dear woman here in Jacksonville, her daughter was in a coma because of medical issues. And she had sat with her after the surgery. And the next thing she knows, at 7 o'clock, the nurses come in and say, "You've got to get out." She refused to do so. The hospital called Jacksonville Sheriff's Office, law enforcement. Law enforcement went in and arrested her, handcuffed her, and dragged her out of the hospital room where she was staying with her daughter. That's how families are treated today by the medical system in the United States of America. One writer said that the hospitals are killing our patients and covering it up. I am passionate about doing something about it. Speak to that very clearly and concisely for a moment as to what the citizens can do, should do, and must do if we're going to turn this around.
Well, first of all, I'll say, Dr. Youngblood, I'm familiar with Senator Bean. I know him. He was in the Senate and I was in the House and we served together. And he is a good conservative senator on a lot of the issues. And I would encourage you, as you just did, encourage your listeners to make sure you contact your state rep, your state senator, and tell them to support this necessary and good measure of hospital freedom, hospital bill of rights. You know, as you said, Dr. Youngblood, why can nurses and doctors go in to see these patients, but loved ones can't? If the loved ones want to take the risk of catching COVID, or let's say they've been vaccinated. I, for one, have not been, and I am not going to. Amen. Let's say they've been vaccinated, and they can show proof of that, and they want to go in and see their loved one. They should be allowed to do that. I'll share this with you, Dr. Youngblood. About 15, maybe 20 years ago, there was an elderly lady in the hospital. She had pneumonia and other complications. And members of the church asked me if I would go see her and pray for her. And I said, "Well, absolutely I will." So I went to the hospital. And again, this was 15, 20 years ago. They made me put on PPE gear before I went into that room. I had to put on this robe, this big yellow robe. I had to put on gloves. I had to put on a mask. Yes. And I went in there and we saw that young lady. We prayed with her. God healed her. She recovered and left that hospital about 5 days later. That's the power of being able to go in and see your loved ones, your friends in the hospital, when they have that contact with you and you're able to pray with them. This bill is absolutely necessary. It shouldn't be, but it is. When we've seen it based on the behavior of these hospitals lately.
Yes. One of the things that's so distressing to me is the first protocol from the CDC website for treating a COVID patient is stabbing a ventilator down his throat. And to do that, they have to put that body in total animated suspense based on the chemicals that they put in, usually fentanyl and propofol, to basically make the body paralyzed completely. And if the body is paralyzed, according to my research, more than 2 weeks, then all of the organs start to shut down. Recently, we had one of our members that was in the hospital. He had COVID, and when they talked about putting the ventilator in, he said no, he didn't want it. They did it anyway, and I think it was about 11 days later, he died. I was talking with my oncologist just recently, and he said, generally speaking, once a ventilator is put in a person, 80% of them never recover. And yet that is one of the first things that they're doing. And what our listeners need to understand, it's as a result of MONEY. The hospitals get between $48,000 and $77,000 per patient across America for each patient that is ventilated, and then an additional $18,000 to $22,000 for the PPE that the hospital nurses and doctors are required to don as they go into those hospital rooms. It is all about money. It is the process of collecting the dollars. I'm looking at one article, how hospitals kill our loved ones and conceal it. Another one says, inhumane, lethal COVID protocol in our hospitals. And yet we, the people, the loved ones, are not allowed to go in and visit with our friends and relatives and neighbors and fellowship members out of our churches. Congressman, I believe we have a call on the line. John, go over the question and the comment, please.
Yes, Congressman Hill and Dr. Youngblood, thank you again for what you do. Actually, personal experience for myself. I had someone, my wife, that passed away. I was an advocate, basically, for her, in that when you were in the hospital with them, you know them. You know their traits. You know how they react to medications and things like that. And I actually was able to say, wait, no, we don't do this. The other nurse didn't do that. So you actually can kind of, and it's not in a way of being critical and stuff. It's just you're very sensitive to them. And so that you can make suggestions and actually help them while they're there. So there's no way that they should not allow family members to be there. Like you just said a couple minutes ago, the doctors and the nurses are in there. And so what would be the, especially when it was with me, I was with her for so long that, you know, being there every day, there was no way that they could all of a sudden stop allowing me to be in there, which they didn't do. This is like 10 years ago, but it's just, yes, so the family members that are closest to these people, and you've got medical professionals that are trying to take care of them, but sometimes they don't have the perception or whatever it is that they need, and we do because we know our loved ones. So I just want
absolutely
to make that.
John, you're exactly right. Thank you so much for your call. Again, I'm looking at an article, Congressman, by David Katz, medical doctor. He is Yale University Prevention Research Center at the Griffin Hospital, and he advocates never leave your family member alone in the hospital. Always, always be with them, because the doctor's doing their normal protocol, because this is the way we've always done it, so this is the way we're always going to do it, and therefore they will kill patients. I know that with our son in the hospital, for 71 days, whatever we'd recommend, the doctors would summarily reject it. Whatever we'd ask them to do, the doctors would summarily reject it. And it's because they're going by a protocol, and the protocol is directly out of the CDC, directly out of the Oval Office with the Biden administration, which in turn is killing people. I believe it's a process of eugenics on a global basis that's being carried out. Congressman, what are your views on this, and do you believe that the patients have a Bill of Rights? We've already stated so, but how can we prevent the hospitals from basically administering their procedures and their protocol and rejecting any recommendations, any questions, any refusal by the patient or the family members for the procedures that they're carrying out?
Well, I would say the first way, Dr. Youngblood, is don't go into the hospital.
Amen.
Prophylactics that can be taken. There is medicine that can be taken, ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, zinc, vitamin D, that has been proven to be very effective. Take that first before you go in the hospital. You'll recover in 3 to 4 days and not have to go into the hospital. But if you find that you are in a hospital, make your demands and make them known. I would be, if me, this is just me personally, they would have to come and arrest me and take me out of there like they did that one young lady. If my wife or any one of my family members, my children, grandchildren were in the hospital and they told me I had to leave and it wasn't outside of normal visiting hours, I wouldn't leave. They would have to come arrest me. I know of a friend of mine a year ago, it was still during the COVID season, he had to go into the hospital because he had a stroke. And his daughter, 17 years old, wanted to go in and see him, and they would not let her in. This young lady stood there at the hospital door crying and banging on the door outside of the hospital where all the glass doors are, crying and banging, demanding that she can see her father. And it wasn't until the hospital administrative staff went up to his room and said, "Will you please go down and see your daughter, let her know you're okay." And he went down to the door, spoke to her through the door, even though he still wouldn't let her in, and he went back up to his room. But the point I'm making is make your demands known. Do not just acquiesce and give in to them.
Absolutely. I'm in agreement with that full force. I believe we have John back on the line. Joanne, if you go ahead with your question or comment.
Yeah, I just noticed something else. How about a wrongful death claim? Are they covering it up so much to where you wouldn't be able to do that? I think that they should have wrongful death claims all over the country.
I believe it 100%, brother. I believe there needs to be a class action suit in state after state after state filed against the hospitals, the hospital administrators, and the physicians. Most of the physicians today are not considered hospital employees. When you go into the hospital, you sign a document letting you know that the doctors are not hospital employees, therefore cannot be held responsible. That's their way of immunity to keep from being sued. But we need to have class action suits against the hospitals for a wrongful death, just as you said. Congressman, we've got about 45 seconds left on the broadcast. Give words of encouragement and challenge to our listeners today as Christians, as conservatives, the way Ezekiel asked the question in Ezekiel 33:10. How should we then live?
We should live with hope, with faith, and with joy, Dr. Youngblood.
Amen.
I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord.
Amen.
Maker of heaven and earth. Don't despair. Don't become in a position to where you just throw up your hands and you say all is lost. We always have that sacred hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. Trust in him. Believe in him. God is faithful.
Amen. Can't close on a better note than that. Congressman, thank you so much for joining us today. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us on Let's Face the Issues. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as, once again, we face the issues.
And president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 1/2 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 9:45 p.m., for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You are invited to worship with them, 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study. Prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in the same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard in its entirety 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM and 93.3 HD3. You're also invited to tune in Sunday mornings at 8 a.m. on Talk 100.3 for expository preaching. Tune in and invite others to listen.